There was a group of Pentecostal Christians. They went for a holiday. So during Sunday, they have to go to a church. And they couldn't find any Pentecostal church in that place. So they found a Baptist church. So they went to the Baptist church. So as usual, when they go to the Baptist church, it's very solemn, it's silent. So they were singing, they were praising, they were singing hallelujah, they were singing praise God. And then when the pastor was preaching, so they were very excited. They said, oh, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Yeah. Then the church gets a bit uncomfortable, you know. Then one of the members nudged them and said, in this church, we don't praise the Lord. All right. A Baptist church, is it true that a Baptist church doesn't praise the Lord? Well, today the psalm says, the first part of the psalm says, come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before Him with thanksgiving and extol Him with music and songs. This is worshiping God with excitement. I know that sometimes we associate worship with something that is very solemn, quiet, reflective. That's fine. We have a place for that. But definitely when Psalm 25, the psalmist says, that, come, sing for joy to the Lord. That is something that's exciting. And I want to highlight the word extol. The word extol doesn't mean exit a toll. You know, these days you exit a toll, you won't be very happy with the increase of the price of the toll. The word extol basically is a victory shout, a shout for joy. Just now we sang a song. So that is a shout for joy. I didn't hear y'all sing very well just now. okay. Or maybe we Chinese, or most of the Chinese, more familiar with yam sing. Isn't it? Or sometimes we do this. Yes, yes. Cantonese called kala tai chau gan. Yeah. Or the, how do you say it in English? I don't know. The muscle armpit was having spasm. Yeah. So shouting for joy should be something very natural for us because of who God is. So why not we try one time, all right? The song. Okay. Oh, all right. Oh, too soft. One more time. Very good. So from this week onwards, right, the many, many weeks to come, when we sing songs that is of excitement, of a faster beat, let us join in and sing because it is part of worship. Yeah. Baptists do praise the Lord. Okay, then I'm just quickly going through because the main part is actually at the end. The reason is that we have been practicing that. If you were to notice that in our worship today, that we sang with fast song worship and excitement, and then we also sang about the worship of God. In Psalm 75, verse 3 to 5, it says, for the Lord is a great God, the great King above all gods. In His hand are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to Him. The sea is His, for He made it, and His hand formed the dry land. So it talks about the worship of God, who God is. I highlighted the word is because is describes an objective truth. This is. So here it says, the Lord is the great God. So it means that whether or not you and I worship Him, whether you and I were to acknowledge Him, He is. God is. So He is. Who is He? He is the creator, the controller, and the owner of the universe. That is from the verses, in his hands, that means he control it, belongs, that means he's the owner, he made it, he's the creator. So this is our God, the great God that we worship, the creator God, the God who is in control, the controller, and the owner of the universe. And we can come together as a community to meet with this God. How exciting that is. Then the next part is worshiping God with reverence. Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture, the flock under His care. Today, if only you would hear His voice. This phrase, today, if only you would hear His voice, is a poet, is a genius in terms of poetry, because it is both a conclusion and an introduction. So over here, I put it as a conclusion. This part of Psalms, nobody has any problem with it. It talks about praise, it talks about God, it talks about reverence, talks about bowing down, it teaches us how to worship God. I highlighted the word if, because that is the subjective factor. We are that subjective factor. Subjective means God gave us a choice. The creator of the universe, the controller, and the owner of the universe gave us a choice to worship Him or not. Of course, the psalmist says, but today, if only you would hear His voice. And after this, it's a warning. And I want you to see the transition here. The first seven verses, or the part of the seventh verse, the first part of the psalm is a worship leader calling, come, let us worship. And then you see that today, if only you would hear His voice, do not harden your heart as you did at Meribah and you did the day at Massah in the wilderness, where your ancestor tested me. They tried me, though they had seen what I did. For 40 years, I was angry with that generation. I said, they are a people whose heart go astray and they have not known my ways. So I declared an oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. The transition here is that from a worship leader, now God speaks. Do you notice that? I said, I was angry. Who is this I? This is God. And we experience this every week. We sing songs and praises, and then after that, a preacher will come forward to preach and to deliver us the word of God. And God speaks every week. So it's not something that is foreign to us. Although it seems like very abrupt. Praises, songs, happiness, reverence, very positive, very good. Then suddenly, this part is a warning. Well, a warning is important. And of course, if a warning can be sung as a song, maybe it has some siren in it. I'm not too sure how to sing a warning song. But nevertheless, a warning still has to be spoken to warn us that, and this warning is, do not harden your heart. So we went through the whole psalm very briefly. And it gave us very obvious reasons. And the obvious reasons is this. Why do we worship? Because He is the rock of our salvation. That's verse 1. That means He is our security. Because He's the creator, the controller, and the owner of the universe. And because we are His people. The psalmist says that we are His. He is our God and we are His sheep. These are very obvious reasons why we worship. But I want to highlight something that is not very obvious. A corporate worship, a community worship, is actually an apparatus to indicate our spiritual health. It is actually a tool to measure and for you to find out how healthy are you spiritually. Let me explain. When you and I, when we come to worship God, we sang songs, all these songs has lyrics. Do you actually mean those lyrics? Do you actually hear those lyrics and those songs being played? Like today we say that, worthy is the Lamb. How great is our God? Do we actually mean it? So that is a measure. Only you know. Nobody would know. Yeah. And then you have the sermon. Is your heart receptive to the word of God? So that is why the psalmist says, do not harden your heart. Well, I know that hardening of the heart is a cultural thing. We may not understand unless we have a cultural context behind it. Let me explain. For example, for those who are English speaking, we understand the word die hard as hard to die. It means you cannot die, right? There was a movie made out of it, Die Hard. Bruce Willis was in it. Yeah. But for the Cantonese-speaking people, die hard means something that is the opposite. Sei ngang means sure die, right? Yeah. So, could you imagine those Cantonese-speaking people go and watch Die Hard and then, how come, thinking that he may die gruesomely, but he didn't die. And yet, you have like part one, part two, and then got part three somehow. So, or got part four somehow now, yeah. Very hard to die, man, that guy. Yeah. But then, to the Cantonese, like, how come, you know, it's like, I thought he's going to die, but he didn't die, you know. So, hardening of the hearts, maybe sometimes we think that, oh, a heart of steel, it means that a person that is very, very strong. Heart of gold, somebody that is very good. But gold and steel are something that is very hard. So, why is it bad to have a hardened heart? Yeah. Basically, to have a hardened heart, it means that you are not sensitive to God. So the psalmist is saying that today, if you hear God's voice, do not harden your heart. It means be obedient to God. That is a positive way of stating it. So in the Psalms, you see that worship with excitement, worship with reverence. And actually the third part, if let's say we want to state it positively, is worship with obedience. Two incidents were highlighted in verse 7 to 11. It talks about Massa and Meribah. They are named of places, but they are named after Massa basically means testing. Meribah basically means grumbling. So when the people tested God, that place was named Massa. And when the people grumbled against God, that place was named Meribah. But these are incidents that reminds us that people continually test God and they continually complain about many things. It shows a lack of faith. Therefore, the psalmist says, today, how often is today? It means every day, lah. Yeah. Today, do not harden your heart. That means every day we do not harden our hearts. Every day that we are sensitive to God. Every day that we hear His voice. Every day that we worship Him. So today, therefore, when we come together as a corporate body, as a church, as a community, as we sing songs, you will know where you stand, because the corporate worship will help you indicate your spiritual health. One of the signs of hardened heart is this. I'm not pointing to a particular person because I don't really interact very, very closely with most of you, so I'm not pointing to any particular person. This is an example of a hardened heart. One of our most expressive speaker here in First Baptist Church is Arnold. So, since he's not here, I can talk about him. Okay, yeah. So let's say Arnold, all right? Yeah. So he's very expressive, you know. And then let's say one of us, give him an encouragement. Yes, preach it, brother. Hallelujah. And it's like, he's so, the person that's sitting, listening to Arnold, is like so excited about the message. He's like so receptive about the message. Wow, yes, that is correct. Yeah, that's exactly what God says. I agree with you, brother. Praise the Lord. But actually, deep in his heart, that person is thinking, yeah, praise the Lord. Dr. Peter needs to hear this. Yeah, praise the Lord. Ayo, our elder need to hear this. Elder Richard need to hear this. Or so-and-so need to hear this. So you are, so the sermon is not directed to you, you know, the sermon is directed to someone else. And you say, oh, and then you start to look around, wait, whether that person is here or not. Oh, he's here, then you smile at him. That person thought you're greeting him, you know. And then you want to make sure whether the person heard the message, right? After the service, then you go shake his hand or like his friend, you know. Wow, very good sermon, huh? Wow, I learned a lot, you know. Hey, what do you learn, huh? To make sure that the person heard the sermon or not. Friends, the speaker is speaking to you. God is speaking to you, not someone else. When you have that tendency, your heart is hardening. Whoever the preacher is, whether he's exciting or he's monotonous, as long as the preacher is speaking from the Word of God, God is speaking, and God is speaking to each and every one of us. It is a personal message as well as a corporate message. So when we share with one another, if it is an encouragement, we come together and we praise God. If it reveals a certain part of us that is not right with God, we come together, pray for repentance, and also pray that we keep one another accountable. It's not whether the person heard the message or not. It's about, have I heard the message? And am I responding to God? Well, how are we supposed to take this? How do we respond to this? This cannot be taken lightly. Because Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, has two chapters. Two chapters, they are the commentary of Psalms 95, verse 7 to 11, chapter 3 and chapter 4. But today I'm just going to pick out some verses from chapter 4. Therefore, while the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us fear lest any of you should seem to have failed to reach it. For good news came to us just as to them. That means the forefathers. But the message they heard did not benefit them because they were not united by faith with those who listened. The word united by faith means it is combined by faith. They heard the word of God. The word of God has to be combined with faith. It's just like our combustion engine. The air and the gas has to be combined. Under pressure, it will combust. Same as our faith. God's word and our heart have to be combined with faith, and then we are able to live out the word of God. Verse 11, let us therefore strive to enter that rest so that no one may fall by the same sort of disobedience. So it is very, very clear. It's about obedience. The rest in the historical context, when Psalms is written, it is the promised land, which is Canaan land. But the rest now for Christian is about the heaven. It's about the complete, total fellowship with God. And that is the rest that the author of Hebrews is talking about. And here the word says, let us therefore strive to enter. That means we have to put effort in it. It doesn't come automatically. And how do we respond to that? The Apostle Paul says this, spiritual life is like a race. And he said that I want to complete this race. And I can assure you that the race is not a 100-meter dash. It's a marathon. It's long distance. It's an endurance sport. And these days I started running again. Running 10 kilometers is I had this talk with Isaiah Key, the groom, who was married yesterday. So we exchanged notes, and I asked for some tips from him. Basically, running 10 km is not difficult. As long as you have enough sleep, you eat well, you stretch, you can run, and stretch after that, you're fine. It is the longer distance that takes more discipline because you have to replenish. You have to take salt. You also have to take energy. So some people take gel, some people take power bar. And then we notice one thing about Malaysian. This is a Malaysian secret. We Malaysian can eat dodol if we will run marathon because it's full of energy. For me, coconut candy works very well. And recently in Singapore, 5th of December to be specific, there was a Standard Chartered marathon in Singapore. And there was this news about a man, a Singaporean. He joined the race. He ran 6 miles. And then he faked that he was tired and he had cramp. And then somehow he managed to get onto a medical vehicle and then drop him at a bus stop. So he was at the bus stop. He sat there about 2 hours, just waited for all the runners, the first batch of the runners to come by. So he saw all the Kenyans, as in African from Kenya, they ran by. And then he saw some Asians. Okay, then he saw, so it is safe. So he put on the number again and then started running. And then he finished the race. And to the surprise of the whole island of Singapore, he's the fastest Singaporean that ever finished a marathon. Then they find it so weird. Who is this guy? We never heard of him. He is even better than the national athlete, the national runner, you know. So things are a bit amiss. So they checked, realized that he only went through one checkpoint, you know. He didn't go through most of the checkpoints. And finally, he knew that he had to admit that he cheated. Yeah. He didn't run the whole 42 km. He just ran about 6 km, I think, or 6 miles. And then his innocent response was, all I wanted is the finishing T-shirt. That's all I wanted. Then so many people scolded him and saying this, we know we Singaporeans are very kiasu, but we are not as kiasu like this, okay? Yeah. Don't take it to the next level. Yeah. In our spiritual life, we have actually registered in a race. We already have that number. And all of us are running. Some of us, we are tired, but we are still walking. But I can tell you this, you cannot cheat. In spiritual life, you cannot cheat. The most important thing is to finish the race. That's what this psalm is. That's what Hebrews is talking about. Let us strive so that we can enter that rest. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father and Almighty God, sometimes we are tired. We feel like giving up. Running this race is painful. But God, we know that you walk with us and you run with us. Replenish the joy of our first love. Replenish our strength, O God, when we are weak. Let us keep our eyes on you, on Jesus. We want to finish the race, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Let's open our hearts. As Pastor Joshua said, I think it is important. It's important to tell our Lord, tell Him about how we want to worship Him, how we want to trust Him, and how He works in our lives. I think it's important for all of us to know that our God is a God of love. As much as He loves us, I think our love is also back to Him. And when we come to our God, much as we want to hear from Him, He wants to hear from us. So when we worship, even the heavens hears us. God hears us. And I think it's important for all of us to remember that when we talk to God, God listens and He wants to know what's in your heart. So do not harden your hearts, but to open it and tell him all that you have to say. When the music fades, all is stripped away, and I simply come, longing just to bring something that's of worth that will bless your heart. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the things I've made. It's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. You deserve. Though I'm weak and poor, all I have is yours. Every single breath, I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required.